What came next is intended for mature audiences only. Episodes discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, animal abuse, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist, nor am I a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwaswrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Opinions expressed by my guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or Broken Cycle Media. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening. Jordan is a mother and survivor from Florida. She originally reached out to the Broken Cycle Media team after hearing similarities between her journey and the journeys of the women from season 20 of Something Was Wrong. Jordan was compelled to share her experiences surviving catfishing, fraud, abuse, and stalking in order to offer awareness and community to others, as season 20 previously did for her. The Broken Cycle Media team is immensely grateful for Jordan's transparency and desire to continue our mission to support other survivors.
Hi, my name is Jordan. I am a single mom of two. I think everybody would describe me as their empathic, sarcastic, blunt, and devoted friend. I have a horrible dating life. And everybody knows it because I am open to tell it. I fall pretty hard when it comes to any kind of love situation. I think that tends to come from my parents and my upbringing because my parents are still together after 40 something years. Came from a middle class home. I think that helped me to the point where I'm at today. Everything I do is for my kids. I have to be a strong person whether I'm going through a lot or not. At the end of the day, they need to see that they have a strong mom. I was previously married for 7 years and I was with him for 12. It was a good relationship for the most part. He was a first responder, so he wasn't there as much as I would have liked. We have a better relationship now, but it was kind of rocky for a while. My ex-husband and I, we share 50-50 custody. I do make time to date. Most of the time, I don't have time with work and being exhausted after work. But after our divorce, I started dating a very narcissistic, emotionally abusive alcoholic. Somebody who was telling me I was wrong 24/7 and everything I did was wrong and I was a bad mother. Nothing I did or said could be right with him. I would get drinks thrown at my head because he thought I was cheating on him with his friends that were asking me to dance because I didn't know anybody at a Christmas party. I mean, it was just things like that. We dated for 2.5 years. I had to cold turkey kick him out when I found out he actually put my child outside in the middle of the night at 2 years old and told him wolves were coming to get him while I was asleep. And I don't know how long he was outside for. So when I found that out from my kid, I packed all his stuff and I told him, I said, you need to get the hell out of my house. And I haven't talked to him since. After that, it's just been on and off with different people. Nobody's kind of met my criteria that I'm looking for. Like, I'm looking for somebody who's going to be the perfect role model for my kids and somebody who's going to be caring and loving and the support that they need as a father role. In my past relationships, I wasn't getting my needs met in terms of somebody who was caring about me. It was 2020 and everybody was using TikTok at that point because we were all bored at home, it being COVID at the time. It was just easier to talk to people online because we couldn't go out anywhere. I made a TikTok account. I had probably 65,000 followers after I had a video go viral. So I had a lot of people that would go live with me or I'd go live and I had a lot of followers that would come on every day. I was friendly with all of the people that were following me. Like if somebody messaged me, I'd engage in a conversation just because I like to talk to people. I like to get to know people, whether it's good, bad, ugly. like I said before, I'm an empath. So if I can help in any manner, I tend to try to do that. The long distance thing didn't bother me. On TikTok, you see all those videos of the long distance TikTok people meeting each other. And so I want that too. I had met somebody on TikTok. It was kind of this whirlwind romance thing. And we had talked for quite a bit. And then we finally decided to meet in person. He drove all the way down. And it was on live where we met. There's videos out there of it somewhere. He would come visit. I would go visit him. He was 16 hours away, but he would drive down often. That relationship, it was a good relationship. We had dated for, I think it was 3 or 4 months. I did meet somebody after that. We weren't technically together, but we were seeing each other. I was in hopes that this person was a great person. We really liked hanging out together, but then he decided he didn't want a relationship. And that's where I became broken. And I was on a live and decided to cry out my feelings when I got broken up with. This is what led up to meeting Mitch. On the live, I was upset because I had just gotten broken up with. I just needed to talk to people and let it out. I think I was teary-eyed on the live, and this person, good-looking profile picture, they had said, this guy's no good for you, you could do better, and actively engaged in the conversation when I was on the live. And then he ended up messaging me directly, and that's how we started talking. At that point on TikTok, I wasn't aware of fake profiles and things of that nature. This person only had the profile picture, didn't have any videos or anything like that. I did have a good number of friends, so I was like, okay, maybe it's not a fake profile. It didn't start out as romantic. I think it just turned into that after we started talking for a while. We had such good conversation that it was almost like this person became my best friend. We would talk about everything, our family, our life's ambitions, things that we liked, didn't like. We told each other very intimate stories that we'd never told anybody before. And I think that's what hooked me, is that this person's willing to share their life story with me and open up about things that they've never told anybody before. Mitch was supposedly in South Carolina. I was in Florida. He had a decent relationship with his parents. He had a brother and sister, which come into play in the story later on. He had a very close relationship with his grandmother, who was technically like his mother. He was in between jobs. He said he was a welder. He's like, well, I should be paying for your stuff. If I'm going to be your man, like, I'm going to be the one paying. I'm like, dude, you don't have a job. I think it was like a few days in, we're like, we got to meet. So it started unraveling very, very quickly. Mitch decided he wanted to come visit, but again, it was during COVID. He said that he flew down here, but on the way down, his brother had messaged him. When he landed, Mitch got the message and it said, I have COVID. You can't meet her. You're going to give it to her. So he ended up having to stay in the hotel, which he wasn't planning on doing. So I fronted some money to let him stay a night in the hotel until he figured it out. I'm fronting money for food. I'm sending dinner and doing all these things because he was like, I didn't plan on this money and I don't have the money right now. And I was like, okay, I don't have a lot of money either. He said he was staying at a hotel, which I thought it was probably about 45 minutes away from me. But in actuality, the one he said he was staying at was only 10 minutes away from me. That kind of freaked me out a little bit too. We were always talking on the phone. When I say talking on the phone 24/7, this person became my life. Morning, noon, and night, I was staying on the phone with this person till the point I fell asleep. And then my phone was still on all night. They were listening to me breathe, basically. There was no stopping point of them being like, have this to do and that to do. It was like, I'm here, I'm not doing anything. And I'm like, okay, well, can I come see you? Even if it's from 20 feet away or whatever it is, like, I just want to know you're real. I was like, I can come to the hotel and drop you off food. And he's like, no, don't worry about it. He's like, well, I can't stay here anymore. I need a rental car. And so I fronted money for the rental car. He got home. We were still talking. And then he just started getting weird.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
The parents were texting me at this point. So I'm getting text messages from his sister, his brother, his parents, and him. The parents were nice at first. The mother was very active in the beginning, and then she disappeared. The parents apparently had this weird relationship where they weren't really talking. He ended up coming down shortly after with his family. It was only for like the weekend they were staying. He's like, yeah, I'm here with my sister, my brother, and my parents. We're all gonna meet you. He's like, I wanna marry you. Whoa, hold on, like what the heck? His family was traveling with him because he's telling them all about me. And he's like, I want them to meet you. He's like, I bought you a ring. And I'm like, wait, you what? I was really scared about it because I was like, my parents are gonna be like, what the heck is happening? It was just so weird and so fast. But I'm like, you know what? People meet each other all the time and get married quick. When it comes to the whirlwind dating thing, I mean, I was open to the option of it. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to come visit you guys. He tells me what hotel he's staying at. I go to this hotel. He was sending me pictures of his truck. He's like, oh, I have this nice souped up truck. I'm not materialistic at all. So that kind of stuff doesn't do anything for me. So I'm looking for this truck. There's no truck. I go there. He's not there. He's like, oh, well, we went out. There was always an excuse for everything. I'm like, well, why don't you want to meet me? Like, this makes no sense. Throughout that, I'm getting mad. And the brother and sister are texting me, like trying to reassure me. We're here. He's just nervous. He doesn't want to meet you right now. And I'm like, okay, so he wants to marry me, but he doesn't want to meet me. At that point, I was pissed off. I was calling him a narcissist because I had been with one before and it looked a lot like the love bombing. So it was all these nice things were happening. You know, he's buying me this, he's coming down and visiting, but nothing's happening. They only stayed for maybe a few days and then they went back. I don't know if it was a jealousy thing or what, but he had to be on the phone with me 24/7. I would go to work and I'd be like, I have this lunch and learn that I have to go to. He's like, you can't do that. You have to be on the phone with me. And I'm like, no, I have these plans. Or a rep wanted to take me to lunch or something. Well, you didn't tell me about that. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know I had to tell you where I'm going at all points in time. If I didn't pick up the phone while I was at work, he would call my office. And he would continue to call my office over and over and over and over again until I would answer. One time my boss, he came up to my desk to ask me something. And he's like, what male is talking to you? And it's my boss. I have to answer him. And it was just like, why do you have to talk to your parents 24/7? I'm like, I haven't called them at all for a week. They're calling me because they are worried about me and they want to talk to me. We'd be on the phone and I'd start to catch him in a lie or I'd start questioning things and he'd get very defensive. Then we'd get in a fight and my parents were like, why are you fighting with this person already? You've just started talking. He was very mean to me and very degrading. That's kind of how a lot of the conversations went from there on out. I would get mad at him and just be like, this isn't going to work. So we'd stop talking. Then he'd find a way to be nice to me again. And going into, I think it was April, Mitch started going on trips. He went on a trip to Pennsylvania with his grandmother because his grandmother was getting old. They went to Hershey, Pennsylvania and went to Hershey Park. So he was sending me pictures. Oh, I'm going to get this for the kids and yada, yada, yada. He was going down to the beach in South Carolina with his family. So him and his sister and his brother, they're in a hotel room. We're all talking on the phone together. Like they're all in the same room. I can hear different people in the room. Throughout this time, there was a lot of promises that he was going to come visit and that we were going to do all these things together. And he really wanted a family. Well, my kids are out of diapers. I don't want kids again. And he really wanted a family. This is where he gets a little scary. I told him, I was like, I don't know if I want more kids. I had a procedure to get a tubal ligation done. He actually made me cancel it. He was threatening suicide because he's like, you don't love me enough. I'm like, this is what I want. This is my body. I want to do what I want to do. He got mad about it. And he's like, I just don't believe you. Like, why are you even taking birth control? Mitch made me do a video of me dumping out birth control into the toilet and flushing it. Luckily, I had had old birth control in my cabinet. And I used that. I flushed it down the toilet and videotaped it. It was just like crazy to me that I was like, why am I doing this for this person? When you're in that manipulation stage, you're going to do everything to make this person happy. From there, it just started getting more and more crazy. He had to have access to my accounts. Everything he wanted access to, he wanted access to like my bills. I'm like, no, you're not getting access to all that. He got very jealous. He made me delete my TikTok account. I did delete my TikTok account for a while and then reinstated it so he didn't know that I didn't delete it. Down the road, I think it was a couple more days, Mitch wanted to talk to my daughter. My daughter at the time, she was going through a phase where she was really down in the dumps with her dad and things like that that were happening at their house. He started dating somebody at that time. She was going through all the different motions and she didn't want to talk to me at that point. He's like, well, let me talk to her. I'm like, well, I really don't want you to talk to my kids yet. He ended up getting on the phone with her and had a really good conversation with her. Apparently he's like, well, I want to be your dad one day, and like telling her all these things that I'm like, please don't say stuff like that to my kids. Then my daughter, and I swear I need to listen to my kids more because your kids have intuition beyond belief. She said to me after she got off the phone with him, I don't trust him. Something doesn't seem right about this person. That in the back of my mind was always there, that my kid feels this way. Then he started getting more mean on the phone and he starts separating me from people. If my kids were in the background, why are your kids talking? It's just like a flip of a switch. He would yell at me about these little things. It's like, I'm being a mom. I'm taking care of my children. How dare you? That kind of stuff really turned me off. Everybody says to me, they're like, well, why didn't you just like stop talking to him and leave? And I'm like, it's not that easy. I couldn't stop talking to this person. They were coming at me from all angles. They were threatening suicide. They were threatening to do things like, I'm going to tell this person this that you talked about. These are private conversations. Like, why? So the trust started lacking at this point. I was kind of weary, but he's like, I want to move down there. I want to get closer to you and the kids. And I'm like, you haven't even met me. Why do you want to move down here? And he's like, well, I feel like if I move down there, we can meet. I tried getting him a job because I know people down here. I'm sending him job descriptions nearby. And he's like, all right, I'm going to find an apartment. Him and his grandma were going to move down temporarily. He ends up finding a job, supposedly. He's telling me where it is. And I'm like, well, what's the name? And he wouldn't necessarily tell me the name of the place. He's like, well, I don't want you stalking me or whatever. Then I looked up the address of where he said it was. It was abandoned. And I'm like, so this guy's lying to me about this now. I called him out on it and he was very defensive about it. Oh, well, it must have been the wrong address. Another thing for the chickens. I'm at Tractor Supply buying dog food for my dog one day. And it was springtime, so they always had the little baby chicks there. Mitch was like, if I move down there, let's get some chickens and we'll be able to raise the chickens and have fresh eggs and all this. And I'm like, I don't have time for freaking chickens. He's like, come on, you're going to buy these things. So I'm like, okay, I'll buy like one or two. He's like, no, you have to buy like five. So I buy five freaking chicks. I buy all the things for these chicks. I was like, okay, well, you need to buy the house. He's like, well, why don't you buy it? I'll go pick it up and then I'll put it together. And I'm like, okay. I give him the money to go buy it and pick it up and never gets picked up because he never bought it. But I'm stuck with these freaking chickens. Luckily, my uncle had taken them. Mitch finds an apartment. He did say he was going to move at this point. And then apparently he did move. His sister was with him at that point. She was living in the apartment. She was with this abusive guy that they've been on and off for a while. And then she ends up getting pregnant. So I'm like, okay, well, it's Mother's Day. I'm going to do something nice. I make these baskets for his grandmother and his sister. He gave me an address to these apartments. I drive around the parking lot, don't see his truck. He's like, I'm in the back. I'll come meet you. Oh, I'll be outside soon. And just making all these excuses. He's like, oh, I made your mom something for Mother's Day. Still wouldn't meet me. I had made these baskets for his grandmother and his sister and went to drop them off there one day. And at the address he told me, I go up there. There's no doormat. There was nothing, but there was a note under the door. Didn't have anything on it with his name or the grandmother's name or anything like that. So I'm like, something's not right. I'm knocking on the door and nobody's answering the door. And I'm like, this doesn't feel right. So I call him out on it. I'm like, you're lying to me. I can't believe you. And we get in this huge fight. After this huge fight, he tells me, I think I won the lotto, and shows me this scratch off lotto ticket that he won. It was like a decent amount of money. And he's like, I can buy a house down here. Do you want to go in with me? Come to find out, he puts my name on the agreement. So the realtor's calling me and asking me to sign all these things. I'm like, wait, what? What is happening? After this, he was trying to tell me, I'll buy you a new car, because my car was kind of crappy at that point. He's wanting me to sell my car. And I'm like, well, not until I get the new car. I'm not selling my car. But the whole lotto scheme, it just seemed off. I'm talking to my parents about it. I'm like, oh yeah, dude said he won the lotto. He's wanting to buy me all these things. And I'm like, why all of a sudden? Because I'm starting to fray away from you and you're trying to get me back by doing something like that that's going to reel me in. I had told him so many times before, the money doesn't matter. I don't care about that kind of stuff. I'm looking for an actual relationship.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
He was supposed to meet me at the beach one day. He was friends with this guy who was famous on TikTok for his trucks. He lives somewhere down in Florida. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe he does know him. He's like, yeah, I met him at a truck show and we became friends. Come down to the beach, come meet us down here. I bring my kids. We're going down there to meet him to have dinner. Kids and I end up staying down there to watch the sunset. He was supposed to meet us. I'm walking up and down the beach because he's like, oh, I'm down here. We walk all the way down the beach. No, he's not. So we walk all the way back down the beach, go to get my car. He was talking on the phone with me. Oh, I'm right behind this motorcade that's coming down the road. I see this motorcade. He's like, oh, I see you guys. I just passed you. And I'm like, well, why didn't you stop? This doesn't make sense. Like, why are you doing this? And he's like, I don't have my car. I'm going to get my car and then I'm coming back. So we're waiting, waiting, and waiting, and he still never shows up. Then he's like, go meet me at this gas station. So I'm sitting there waiting again, another 20 minutes, still not there. I'm like, I need to go home. So we end up just driving home, not meeting. So I'm pissed off at him again. Somewhere around this time, he was wanting to go to Disney. He's like, let me make it up to you and the kids. My grandma thinks it's really crappy what I did, not meeting you. So she wants to take you and the kids to Disney and wants us all to go as a family. And I'm like, seems weird, but sure. He's like, I bought the tickets. We get all ready that morning. Kids are all excited because they think they're going to Disney. He starts calling me and starting a fight with me. And I'm like, why are you starting a fight with me? And he's like, I just can't do this with you right now. I can't believe you're starting this with me. And I'm like, I'm not starting anything. You were supposed to be here over an hour ago to pick us up. The kids are excited. They're ready to go. Come 10 o'clock, he's like, still not there. And I'm like, well, we just wasted the whole day. We're not going to Disney. And so I have to tell the kids now, and they're very upset. That killed me because I just hurt my kids. I'm thinking this person's going to do something great for us and we're going to have this awesome adventure together. Then I feel bad because I'm like, well, your grandma just spent all this money on these tickets and now she doesn't have it. So I front the money to pay her back because I felt bad because the tickets were no longer valid. After that, we just didn't talk for a little bit. In May, I wasn't talking to him, but I was talking to his sister at this point. She became like a very close friend of mine because of all the shit. And she started talking to me like on a daily basis. I'm at my son's soccer game and his sister Kay called. She's crying. And I said, what happened? She said, Mitch died in a car accident. My heart just sunk and I lost my shit. I was blubbering, crying. I'm in love with this person and he just died. It was just very emotional. And everybody's like, are you okay? What is happening? And I can't even watch my kid's soccer game because I'm dealing with this shit. Come to find out a day or two later that he didn't die. He was in the hospital, I guess, but didn't die. He ends up calling me and explaining everything. I swerved to miss a deer on the road and went into the bushes and I hit really hard and I just woke up out of a coma. It was just these crazy stories. And so after that, I couldn't trust Kay or him. And I was like, I need to stop talking to you guys. But they would always find a way to just come back to me. It gets to the point, he's sending me flowers and chocolate covered strawberries to my work, just trying to show that he's still a good guy. He's like, you can't share them with anybody. This person was stalking me at my office. They knew where I had parked during the day. And this happened twice where he was stalking me at Target. One time I was shopping with the kids and they were in the toy aisle. He had to mute his phone and I was like, hello. And he's like, sorry, I had to mute. Somebody was being really loud. But actually my son was in the same aisle as them. And he ended up telling me that after the fact. Another time I was getting in my car and he's on the phone with me and he's like, so what'd you get to drink? And I'm like, what do you mean? What did I get to drink? How would you know that? And he's like, oh, I was in line behind you. I was like, no, you weren't. There's just no way you were behind me because I'm looking for this person. After all this, I tried to break away from this person. He threatens me at this point and says that he's going to email nude pictures that I had sent him to every male email at my office. So that was really embarrassing because I ended up having to go to my boss and say, hey, this is the situation. This is what's happening. There's this person harassing me and stalking me. I don't know what to do. I ended up calling the cops at this point because it was just nonstop. The cops at the office didn't do anything. He helped me look for like the name, couldn't find the name. And he's like, you can't really file a restraining order against this person if you can't find them. One weekend I was with my family. We had driven down to Fort Lauderdale and we went on the boat. I'm on the boat with my family after not talking to this person, and they send me a picture of my license plate with my car in the parking lot. Oh my God, this person followed me. So this fear now that I have that this person's just constantly following me. And I had these hay bales that were in the front yard. At one point he messaged me and he's like, are you ever gonna bring those hay bales inside? And I'm like, how would you know that the hay bales are there? Why are you driving past my house? He was talking about things that were inside my house that were like on the table that nobody would have known unless they looked through my window. This was the point in the stalking that it kept getting crazier and crazier. At this point, I'm just so over this person. They're terrifying me. And I'm like, you are not the person I thought you were. My sister can't stand this person. My dad and mom are pissed at me. He was separating me from everybody. He's calling me constantly. I couldn't even put my phone down or turn it off. Because then he's calling my parents' phone. I guess I had sent a screenshot early on. Very important. Be careful when you send screenshots of conversations to people because sometimes they'll have the phone number up at the top. And that's how he was able to get my ex-husband's phone number. So he's texting my ex-husband. He's messaging everybody. My mom's just losing her mind on me. She's like, I will not talk to you anymore. I will disown you as a daughter. And that was really hard for me because me and my family are so close. We talk every single day. I don't want to lose my family over this. So at that point, I was just done. I said to my dad, I was like, I don't know how to get mom back in her good graces. And he's like, you just need to get rid of this guy. I don't like him. I think it was like a day or two later, he like threatened to kill me at that point. He had said something along those lines, like, I'll kill you. I don't want anything to happen to the kids. To this day, that still bothers me. I was so involved with this person that I could have lost my kids. I think that hurts the most out of everything. I got really scared. I ended up not going to work that day because I was really upset. My dad took me and we just had like a day, no phones, no none of that stuff. He took me to the beach and we just sat by the water and talked. Then he's like, let's go get a drink. We're sitting there and having a good day. And I go to the bathroom, I bring my phone in the bathroom and I get this text message and it's from Mitch. He sends me a topless picture of myself and he's like, bet you I won't send it to your dad right now. I freaked out. So I went out there and I told my dad, I said, Dad, he's threatening to send a picture of me to you. Please don't be disappointed in me. It was just really embarrassing for me. And I don't like to disappoint my dad. That's just something I grew up with. You disappoint your parents, it's the end of the world. My dad's fed up at this point. We go back to my house. I call the cops. The cops come to the house. We're standing there talking and he calls me on the phone. I said to the cop, he's calling me now. And he goes, let me talk to him. Mitch is so rude to him on the phone. He's like, fuck you. I don't care what you say. I don't think he realized that I would call the cops. Cop tells him, don't contact her again. That's all he could really do. He's like, you can report to IC3, which is like the internet crimes for the FBI. So I did do that. I made a grievance. So after that, I blocked Mitch's number. And then he began emailing me nonstop. I stopped talking to his sister too. So he didn't have any other way to talk to me. At that point, he hacked into my Facebook. He hacked into my Instagram. I ended up getting it back, luckily. And I changed my number. It sucked so bad getting a new phone number because I had had the first one for like my entire life. Come late May, I go back on my TikTok. It was maybe a week or so just because I'm like, I need somebody else to talk to. I start seeing this one profile and it was this guy, Josh, typical Florida guy, fish picture, definitely my type. Josh lived up in Tampa. So we start talking. It was a very similar play of events. They kind of did the same thing with the love bombing at first, wanting to meet right away, wanting me to meet their families. The parents got involved real quick. So the mother and the father were talking to me nonstop. I find out he has two kids also. He tells me he comes from money again. I don't care about the money. I'm telling Josh about Mitch and the whole thing. Josh was like, let me talk to Mitch. They get in this text argument. He's being like my knight in shining armor against Mitch. I get this message from Mitch. He was like super nasty to me. And I was like, just leave me alone. Josh, he's telling me, come visit St. Pete. And I'll meet you there. And I'm like, okay, I've never been up there. So I drive a couple hours. I bring my dog that day. I go down to the pier and he's like, I'll meet you at this place. So I'm waiting. He's like, oh, I'll be a little late. Something came up. I need to go finish it. So I'm just people watching and hanging out. 20 minutes turns into an hour. And I'm like, okay, are you coming? I just drove a couple hours. I want to make sure you're coming. So he's like, I'll be there soon. Don't worry. Be there soon turns into a couple more hours. So I'm just walking around at this point, enjoying the music, enjoying the vibe of what that place has to offer. And he's like, I'm going on the boat with a friend. And so I'm pissed at this point. He supposedly goes on the boat and he comes back and he's like, I'm going to dinner. Knowing I have my dog, I can't go up there to the restaurant. I walk down there and I was like, come down. Like, I have my dog. I can't go up there. And he's like, all right, I'll come down in a minute. So I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. And I'm crying at this point because I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself again? I'm letting this person lie to me over and over again. And with what had just happened with Mitch, I was like really on high alert. So all these little triggers were happening. Nobody ever came down. I ended up staying 4 or 5 hours. I was like, screw you. I'm done. I'm going home. I end up talking to Josh again. His mom, I think, starts talking to me and they're like, he screwed up. He's a good guy. He's not that type of person. don't let this one thing happen. So I'm like, okay, I'll give him another chance.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Next week on What Came Next.
It was almost like divine intervention. All of the profiles that I was being catfished with were coming across my feed within a day of each other. All of the real people's profiles. So I happened to message this one person and let them know, hey, somebody's catfishing with your pictures. I just wanted to let you know. And he tagged Casey and was like, you guys need to talk.
What Came Next is a Broken Cycle Media production co-produced by Amy B. Chesler and Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to help support What Came Next, you can leave us a positive review, support our sponsors, or follow Broken Cycle Media on Instagram at Broken Cycle Media. Check out the episode notes for sources, resources, and to follow our guests. Thank you again for listening.